You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast with host Fifi Peters.
Earlier today, Massmart, the retailer that owns Game and Macro, and I wonder if they still own Dion that store was closed. But yeah, so they announced that they are struggling to find a buyer for their Game stores in Eastern West Africa. And Massmart said that it has been looking for a buyer for quite some time now, almost a year, with no luck. And as such, it was considering closing the stores down, which would not only come as a loss to its own bottom line potentially, but also a loss to workers there who could potentially not have a job anymore. But to talk about the recent deals on the table, the ones that are working and the ones that are not working, I am joined by Andrew Bowman, the Chief Executive of Deal Leaders International. Andrew, thanks so much for your time. How closely do you look at Massmart, and what do you make of the fact that they're struggling to let go of Game in Eastern West Africa?
Yeah, evening, TV. Look, it's one of those situations where I think the Game business model has been wrong for quite some time. So, you know, not only do you have the business model that's a challenge, but you also have, you know, in their case, the markets that they're trying to sell in. So, you know, all of the uncertainty during times like this, you know, will put pressure on, you know, potential buyers. One, the business risk itself, but also obviously the territory risk as well. As well as, you know, I don't have real line of sight of the balance sheets and the like. So,
sure.
Yeah, it's a tough situation to be in. But, you know, often one maybe has to look at a bit of a restructure or changes and enhancements to demonstrate to a buyer that this is fixable and can be a good business versus just kind of standing at footstools and hoping someone's going to pick it up.
Sure. I do hope, I mean, for the workers over in Eastern West Africa that maybe something can be found by way of a solution and that they do have jobs. And just to correct myself there, Dion Wired used to be under the Massmart portfolio, but those doors closed back in 2020 at the onset of the pandemic. Another deal, let's get into the fish business. So Oceana announcing earlier this week, it was yesterday or the day before, that they had found a buyer for their cold storage food business, a price tag of 760 million rand, which I saw was a bit of a discount to the actual enterprise value of the entity, and we saw a big drop in the share price, and I'm wondering if it had anything to do with the fact that the business is being sold on the cheap. But what do you make of this deal?
Yeah, likewise. Look, they're the same. You know, it's interesting to see why they did offload it at a discount. You know, it's you know, cold storage typically is quite an exciting and solid industry, you know, particularly if you look at the infrastructure that exists in South Africa. Obviously, the operating costs will be under pressure because of what's happening with power. But yeah, you know, you often, you know, was it a fire sale with everything that's been going on with the group? You know, it's a difficult one because I would see it, you know, it's a solid asset, and one would hopefully be able to leverage those solid assets more effectively if you followed the right process to find the right buyers. Because, yeah, you know, a share price and balance sheet like that can't take more knocks. And, you know, that, I suppose that's always the correcting element from the market when the share price dips about, you know, selling something at a discount in a very, very difficult environment.
Mm-hmm. And they have an informal ambassador in the form of Didon Bueno, who's doing the most in terms of, you know, making pilchards, Lucky Correct. Star pilchards cool. He hasn't convinced me, but nonetheless. Another one, Avenge. Potato, patata, but they also finally got rid of the steel business. And but I see it's a mystery buyer. I mean, why the mystery around who they offloading this to?
Yeah, it's quite interesting because I look at that as well as the Oceana deal. You know, I was just kind of looking at the SENS announcements. And, yeah, it's quite interesting because both are consortiums. You know, so I always, you know, lack of transparency always bugs me. I'm thinking, well, someone, you know, you're offloading it. We need to see exactly who it is. And, you know, it's interesting that they're forcing consortiums to go down this route. So, yeah, I've always found trying to do those types of deals a challenge because there's just kind of too many chiefs in, you know, in the mix and who's doing what. As well as, you know, there's no transparency on how these deals are actually getting funded. So it's one thing doing the deal and, you know, getting in the Trident example, a decent price, it seems. But then what is going to happen to the business after that? Because if you're going to pump a whole lot of debt into it, you know, how sustainable is the business going to be going forward? And what does that runway look like? So, yeah, it's always a concern. You know, it's almost similar to bits and pieces we had through the SAA debacle about, you know, who's doing what, who's buying, who are these people, what is their pedigree, who's funding it, all of those elements. So, yeah, I've got quite a few more layers to peel away. But, you know, good day. First step of the deal has, you know, looks positive. So let's hope they can make it work and it works well for Trident Steel.
Yeah, and I see that, talking about listing Singapore or Australia as well, maybe further down the track. I know a lot of people follow this company anymore since it fell from its glory as a major construction company, which it's not doing anymore. It's not really in construction. It's sort of indirectly in construction. I'm not too sure there. Yeah. But what do you make of its prospects going forward and this listing in Singapore and Australia potentially if it happens? I mean, is that it finally turning at the corner?
Yeah, look, it's a tough one because I think, you know, why does one look at listing? It's capital raise. Mm-hmm. One has to better understand their business model and kind of where, you know, what the next chapter looks like. It is quite interesting because, you know, offloading their core assets and, as they mentioned, you know, on this one, paying down debts. It's quite interesting because, you know, timing on listing is key, but, you know, I don't know what the trends are in those markets around listing, but we're seeing a negative trend in this environment. Your team coming out the other side, one would almost want to consolidate, you know, for a while, get the business model right, because you're cutting away a whole lot of potentially decent businesses to focus on core. But what's quite ironic is their core now is not kind of what they built the business on. So it's, you know, one has to almost, you know, kind of understand that. But I would think if it's for capital raise, if they've cleaned up their balance sheet, there may be cheaper, more effective ways to do it than listing. But yeah, who knows?
Who does know? But I want to know what you think about these mining companies right now. I don't know if it is the start of a trend or maybe just something unique to Anglo American right now. Just this venturing or forming of renewable energy companies that will ultimately supply its mines and all that, but teaming up with a renewable energy player, as it were.
Yeah.
What do you make of those transactions and that major announcement from Anglo American that we got yesterday? Do you think that's the start of a trend to come?
I think so. I think it's a great call. You know, I think like anything, you know, you can talk about challenges or you can do something about it, you know, and I think, you know, more and more, particularly in industries that can potentially afford it, or the opportunity cost of not doing it is too great, you know, create new opportunity. And yes, I think it's a great strategy. I think we will see more of it in multiple industries. And, you know, hopefully it's kind of a double-edged win if that's such a thing, because one is, they get sustainable power. Once you get into that stage, the mines alleviate pressure on the existing grid, and hopefully we can create momentum that starts sorting it all out. So I think it's positive, and I think it's, you know, that's one area where I think there's a lot of opportunity for growth, a lot of opportunity for M&A, and it's going to move the needle in, obviously, in our infrastructure as a whole. So, yeah, I think it's a very, very good call.
Yeah, and maybe even help Eskom keep the lights on, just given the fact that mining companies are the largest consumers. This is not M&A exactly, but it is an investment coming through. And I'm talking about what Google announced earlier today. You may not have seen it, but they're looking to set up a cloud service business here on the continent as part of their major investment plan for Africa. And so it's quite interesting because it's like all the cloud players are here. Google is probably the last major one to set up shop. I mean, we do have Amazon Web Services that are here. Microsoft is also here with its cloud business. Yesterday we had BCX on the show talking about their partnership with Alibaba Cloud to bring that offering there. So it's happening in the cloud, it would seem, Andrew.
Yeah, it does. It's quite interesting because, yeah, there's definitely a trend. And I've often thought about it, it's like, why here, right? If you're going to do it cloud-based, you could pretty much do it anywhere. And, you know, I've always seen it as a positive trend, one on the kind of the BPO side. But on this side, they're doing it, you know, for a reason. I think it's a strategic play. I think it starts giving them new potential customer bases on the African continent. Another thing that's also, I think, a huge draw card is a very low cost base. You know, we've got good skills relative to other developing economies. The infrastructure is not as bad, I think, as a lot of us make it up to be. So, you know, if you can generate dollar revenue with a rand cost basis, it's a very, very good call. And look, it's also competitive. You know, if your competitors are doing it, often, you know, one needs to follow. But I think there's a lot of untapped opportunity. And another thing we've seen as well is time zones. So depending on the solutions that are cloud-based and how you service them, you know, if you're in the right time zone, kind of in the middle, you get a lot more flexibility and efficiency in how you service globally versus if you're only based in the US or the Far East.
Interesting stuff. Andrew, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for your time. Andrew Bowman, the Chief Executive of Deal Leaders International. They watch all the hot deals and not so hot deals quite closely and help us better understand the dynamics behind them.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.